All right, very good. Hey, folks, listen, we are gathered again in our Father's house. And, you know, this is the God who sends us out in the world, but before he sends us out in the world, he draws us all to himself. And it's important that we have these times when we can gather around our God, that we can come to him and be comforted by him, spend some time in his presence, be fed by him, be strengthened by him, because we all know the world requires us to have some strength, right? And so, and then when we go back out into the world, he promises that he will never leave us alone and he will go with us. And so today, it's all about the presence of God, being here in his presence, receiving from him all that he has blessed us with, and going with him. So let us begin our worship service. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
O Lord, our Creator, Redeemer, and Comforter, as we gather to worship you in spirit and in truth, we humbly pray that you would open our hearts to the preaching of your word, so that we may repent of our sins, believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, and grow in grace and holiness. Hear us for his sake. Amen. Now let us confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. For his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's return praise to our Lord.
It is well with my soul. Counting my blessings. Hi, my name is Andrew Torscher. I'm one of your elders here at St. Mark's. The first scripture reading for us today is from Romans 5, 6 to 15. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned, to be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through chapter 10, verse 8. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go, rather, to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This is God's word for us today. We now welcome the children forward for a children's message from Denise Kasten.
Look at you. Everybody looks so bright-eyed and wonderful. It's a little bit of a rainy day. The sun is hiding, but look at you, ready to hear about Jesus. And I am so excited that I get to talk to you about that. So maybe you listen to the scripture that Mr. Andrew just read for us. It is such an amazing one because it talks about the disciples and the job that Jesus had for them. And we're going to talk about how we have a job too. So the first thing I want to ask you is, what is a disciple? What is a disciple? Zoe?
It's someone who followed God and did what he said.
Phoenix, what's a disciple?
One of Jesus' followers.
What's a disciple? They listen to Jesus, they follow him. A disciple is a student, someone who learns, someone who listens to the person who is the teacher. So who is the teacher in this story? God is the teacher, but who is the teacher right in front of the disciples? Who's the friend leading them? Jesus! That's always the answer, right? Jesus. So Jesus is the teacher. So one day, Jesus said, "Wow, these people need a lot of help. He looked out there. He saw how hurting and sick and sad and lonely and hungry and all these things that were going on. He said, I need some helpers, right? And so then he said, he said, they are like sheep without a shepherd. What does that mean? Sheep without a shepherd. What is that? What do you think that means? If sheep don't have a shepherd, what happens to them? What happens, Liam?
They could die.
They get lost, right? They're alone. They're confused. They're goofy. They make bad choices. Sometimes we're like sheep without a shepherd when we don't know Jesus, right? So he said they're like sheep without a shepherd. All right. So then Jesus said, we need to pray for helpers. Let's pray for them. And then guess what he did? He answered his own prayer because he's Jesus. So he answered his own prayer and he called his disciples together and he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you. That's what he said. He's sitting there looking, I'm going to send you. They were like, what? He said, yes, you are going to go out. You're going to help the people, all the people, and you're going to help them to not feel lonely, and you're going to talk to them about the kingdom of heaven, and you're going to teach them how to love God better and how to love others better, and you're going to do that because you're going to show compassion and love for them. What does that mean when we show compassion? It's good. What else? We care, don't we? That means we really care. Even if it's people that you might not think that others want to invite to their home or people that other people don't talk to, those are the people we want to love, right? So then what happened? He calls the disciples together. He sends them out. What about today? The disciples have passed on, but those disciples made other disciples. Even after Jesus died and rose again, there was more disciples, and then they taught more disciples, and they taught more disciples. Here we are today. Who are Jesus's disciples today? Us, all of us. That's right. And so it's our job. Jesus says, it's your job and yours and yours and yours and mine and all of theirs to go talk to people about Jesus. And sometimes, guess how we talk to the people the loudest? With our actions. Just by smiling at them, by being kind, by spending time with them. Sometimes it's just our actions. Sometimes it's our words. Sometimes it's our prayers. Can we pray for people who don't know Jesus? Yes. And he can do miracles. And we get to see that right here today on this earth. It's so awesome. So I'm looking at all of your beautiful faces, and I see that grown-ups brought you to church today. And honestly, you have never known life without Jesus, right? You've always known Jesus. And a lot of people out there, they were little babies when they were baptized. They've always known Jesus. Grown-ups brought them to church and vacation Bible school. But there are some people who did not have grown-ups bring them to church. But they met another grown-up, maybe not in their family, maybe a neighbor, maybe someone else, and brought them to church. And that is how they learned about Jesus. And that's what happened to me. Someone else brought me to church, not my parents. So because the congregation loves being involved in the children's message, I know you do, some of you have known Jesus your whole life, and that's awesome, and we thank God for that. But if you are comfortable, I want all of you to turn around and look out there. Turn around, look at the congregation. Look that way. If you're comfortable, raise your hand if someone else besides someone in your family brought you to church so you could know Jesus. There's one. There's one. Me too. So you can make a difference. You can invite a friend, especially someone whose grown-ups aren't bringing them to know Jesus, right? I think that's a really important job for us. And you can do more than grown-ups. In fact, I have something for you. And I wear these a lot. Have you ever seen these? Bracelets with a cross. They're so cute. Look, I have some on today. I wear them all the time. So I have a bracelet for each one of you. And after we pray, I'm going to follow you to Little Worship. And I'll give you a bracelet. But if you're not going to Little Worship, I'm going to be sitting right there where I always sit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you can come see me after church and I'll give you a bracelet. Or you can follow me out and I'll give you one before we go to Little Worship, okay? That way we have plenty of time for the message today. All right. Can we pray about that together? Can you fold your hands? Bow your heads? And I'll do that too. Dear Jesus, give us courage and kind hearts to be your helpers. Teach us how to love others better. And all God's children said, amen.
So, my friends, Jesus was in the very beginning of his ministry. And he started by calling some disciples as he walked around teaching people. And as he walked around teaching people, what kind of people did he find? Well, there was the sick. There was the confused. There was the guilty. There were people who were struggling. Struggling with the problems of life, struggling with not knowing, understanding their relationship with God. He even bumped into some people who were teachers of the law that came to him and by their questions showed the terrible misunderstandings that even they had with their in understanding how God was trying to relate to them and how God felt about them and what God was trying to do. They just didn't get it. And Jesus, he described it. He described this whole situation as this. He said, listen, he looked at the people and he saw that they were lost, like sheep without a shepherd. And sheep are interesting creatures. You know this, right? The sheep don't know how to take care of themselves. They don't know when to come in from the rain. They don't know when to leave a pasture and look for new food. They don't know where to find water. They don't know how to flourish. And so they need a shepherd. Somebody who does know. Somebody who understands their needs before they even experience them. Somebody who is planning ahead so that the sheep will get all the things that they need. Sheep also don't have meaningful teeth when it comes to protecting themselves. They don't have claws. They're pretty much helpless. They need to be defended against those who would victimize them. The shepherd also has this job, that he would protect and keep the sheep safe. And Jesus looked around and he said, the people are helpless. And he turned to his disciples and he said, listen, look at these people. Let's pray for them. Let's pray. And let's pray God's plan for them, because God's plan for these people is that God would serve them, that God would protect them, that God would lead them, but that he would do it through other people. And he said, let us pray that God would send people into the harvest, because the people are in need. The need is great. The suffering that is out in the world is intense. It is felt by everybody. And the God who loves all these people, the God who is working out the salvation of these people, the God who wants to protect them and wants to give them strength and wants to build them up and wants to make it possible for these people to serve him and to have faith in him and to be able to depend on him and to draw everything that they need from him. This God wants to give them everything. But who will be the workers? Who will be the people who go out into the world and harvest? Who are the people who will go out and teach and pray for and pray with and disciple and live life with these people who are struggling? I often wonder at the incredible wisdom of God, because a lot of times his wisdom doesn't make sense to me. The whole idea of God doing his work through people seems like a really vulnerable plan. You know, I mean, in the military, we would come up with plans of how we were going to get something done. And if the plan had obvious weaknesses and ways and things that were like obviously going to make this a really difficult plan to succeed, we would say, let's come up with a different plan. And God's plan is, there are needy people out there in the world. There are people who need to hear this message of salvation. There are people who need to receive love and care from God, and he is going to do his work through people. Trouble with people: they're weak. They don't always get it right. They often get derailed or distracted. They often have other values that they put first, and thus don't execute the job that God has for them. And because of this, I look at God's plan and think, wow, that's vulnerable. He's depending on us. Is that really a good idea? I mean, if look at the disciples themselves, the ones who Jesus called, right? I mean, in the text today, he lists out their names. And you look at these people, and they're not the strongest candidates for the job, right? I mean, Jesus is choosing for one of his core disciples a tax collector. Talk about a credibility problem. I mean, who's going to listen to a tax collector? How about four fishermen? I mean, that's the kind of people everybody wants to follow and listen to about the most important spiritual things in life. And you just walk down the list of the disciples and you realize none of these people are the right kind of people. But what did God do through those 12? I mean, the last one's especially good, right? Who's the last one? Judas, who betrayed him. Yeah. And Jesus sent these people out and he said, I want you to go out and I want you to preach. The kingdom of God is at hand. I want you to go out and preach the message of repentance, and I want you to do it to the Jewish people, to the people who were called to me first, through those people who God called to be his holy nation. I want you to go out and I want you to be the ones to speak for me. How is that going to work? Well, the answer is it wouldn't accept. Before Jesus sent them out, he enabled them. He gave them the tools, the abilities. He gave them the instruction. He gave them, and he sent them equipped. And we have to understand that's why it works. Is that these people go out and serve and preach and spread the gospel equipped by Jesus. And we realize that the work still needs to be done today. There are way too many people out there who don't understand Jesus. They may have heard of him. They may have knowledge about Jesus, whether or not it's correct. They may, but they don't understand the God who made them. They don't understand the God who saved them. They don't understand the salvation that God worked out for them. They don't understand the relationship God wants to have with them, and they don't understand the future that God wants to give them. They don't understand. And the question is, if they don't know, who will teach them? If they've not heard, who will tell them? And so Jesus has the same message for us today that he told his disciples. Pray. Pray that God would send people out into his harvest. Pray that God would raise up people who will go out and speak for God in the world, who will speak the word of God that is spoken to us, that they will study and know and grow in their faith, that they will study and understand the relationship that God wants to have with us, that they will study and understand what it means that Jesus died for us, and that Jesus rose for us, and that through him we have new life, and that we enjoy this life now, today, and forevermore with him in heaven. Understand what that means so that they can speak it to the people in the world who are so desperately in need of these answers. And do you think the disciples prayed? And was that the end of Jesus' plan for the disciples? No. Guess what he did next? He said, the people that you've been praying for are you. You are the ones that I am sending. I am sending you into the world. That means you as well. That when you go out into this world, you are going as God's ambassador. You are carrying the message of salvation with you. You have the responsibility to learn his word, to know his promise, to understand this message of salvation so that you can speak it to people when they are hurting. That you can be the voice of God, the hands and feet of God in this world. That, and you ask, I know the objections. I hear it all the time. I feel it all the time. How could God send me? Doesn't he understand who I am? Does he understand what I've done? Does he know my weaknesses? Does he know that I am not the right person to carry his message? It'll lack credibility coming from me because I am so messed up. And the truth is, if that excuse worked, nobody could possibly do this job because we are all totally messed up. We have all sinned. We all have our weaknesses. We all have our inabilities. We all have the things that are going to make it so that this will not work. But here's the thing. The reason that these fishermen and this tax collector and this guy that doubted and this guy that ended up betraying Jesus, all of these people were able to do the work Jesus gave them was because Jesus himself equipped them. And we have to understand that when we go out into the world, we are not speaking our own words, but we're speaking the words of the one who rescued me. And that the weaknesses that I carry, you can look at it and say, well, these weaknesses will make it so that I can't share the faith. Or you can look at it and say, I can point to those weaknesses. You know, I can glory in my weakness because through my weakness, whose strength shows? I can say, listen, folks, I have a hard time organizing a 2-car parade. But somehow, God can use me. I've done so many things wrong. But the forgiveness of Jesus is bigger than all of my sin. And all of your sin. And all of the sin of everybody who's ever lived. His grace is greater. His forgiveness is complete. And I can point to my weakness and I can say, yeah. And if he can use me, if he can save me, if he can redeem me, if he can make me one of his people, he can save anybody. Because here's the thing, is when we are witnessing in the world today, understand we are not bearing witness to our righteousness, far from it. It is not a lack of credibility that we are messed up, because that's the message we're giving, is that God saves messed up people. And not just saves them, but he works through them. He uses the broken, rusty, messed up tools that we are. He restores us. He fixes us. He redeems us. And then he works through us in this world. My friends, we need to be praying. You know, when God himself tells us this is something you should pray for, we probably ought to take it seriously, right? I mean, if there are people in this world, people that Jesus died for, people that he loves unbelievably much as he loves us, we know of God's love for us. He has that same love for all of those people out there. This is his big mission. This is what he has been working on since Adam and Eve fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, is redeeming people. He wants to bring those people back to himself. He wants to have a lifelong, an eternal relationship with these people because he loves them so much. And he wants us to be on that same mission, that what is important to him is important to us. And so he wants us to be praying for those people, praying that God would send somebody who will be able to speak, somebody who is going to be able to teach, somebody who's going to be able to explain. And you won't be able to explain. People aren't going to build. No one person can fill the needs of any other person. Only God can fill all our needs. But can we do our part? And then be the person that God sends. Commit yourself to the role, to the job, to the task that God has given us, that we would be the ones who use every opportunity to the best of our ability so that more people can believe. And that we would pour into that effort all of our creativity and energy and time as much as we can. Because if it's worth God's time, it's most certainly worth ours. So my friends, here's the vision, and it's not the vision that I make, it's the vision that God has. This is his mission, this is his plan, redeeming the world, redeeming the people who are lost, and he is inviting but also commanding all those who follow him to engage in this ministry, that we would serve, that we would even sacrifice as he did, if that is what is necessary, that somebody else would believe. Can we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send workers into his harvest field? And will we dedicate ourselves to the mission of our master, the one whom we call our Lord, the one of whom we are disciples? Will we follow him as he brings mercy to those who are lost? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we see this world today, and this world is we marvel at how messed up this world is, and sometimes we sit back in judgment and look at the people who are making bad choices and we judge them. Lord, I pray that you would give us a different heart toward these people, that you would help us to see them as people who are loved by you, people who are lost, and people who need to understand. And Lord, I pray that you would send us, that you would send us to speak to them the truth that you have revealed to us, and that you would, by your Holy Spirit, change their hearts so that they might also believe. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Shadows and found the God Please stand as we profess our shared faith with the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Heavenly Father, we come before you today having been called by you to follow you. And in that vein, Lord, I pray that you would help us to say, here am I, send me. To go out and tell those who do not know you in the harvest field. For as you've said, it is plentiful. So send us out and guide us. Give us confidence in the opportunities that are before us to share your love with others. Lord, I thank you that Chris Lockwood is recovering after his knee replacement surgery and pray you continue to give him strength every day to get full functionality back. Lord, I pray that you be with Kitrin, the daughter of Sandra in Canada, who is suffering from cancer. I pray that she would get the treatment necessary to heal her and give her strength to endure. Lord, I pray for all those who are mourning the death of Carol Rash. Pray that you give him comfort at this time, knowing that this time of suffering and separation is temporary And thank you for the ways that you worked in and through Carol to bless other people. Lord, we pray for our state leadership. This day we especially pray for Governor Mike Kehoe. Guide him that he might serve all those who live in the state of Missouri with care. All these we pray in your Son's holy precious name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Thank you. with the shades of his glory, wakes us with mercy and love, Jesus does. He holds the orphan, comforts the widow, cries for injustice, feels every sorrow, carries the pain of his children, Jesus does. So we sing praise to the Father who gave us the Son, praise to the Spirit who's living in us. When I was a sinner, saved me from who I sinner, showers his grace over all of his sins, washes us clean with his blood, Jesus does. Who sings a song of sweet forgiveness, who's called the keys to hell and the grave, who has the power to say Jesus does. So we sing praise to the Father who gave us the Son, praise to the Spirit who's living in us. When I was a sinner, he saved me from who I was, 'cause that's what Jesus does.
Stand. And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. Receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Thank you.
Please be seated. All right, this morning we have a happy thing to celebrate. Jerry Hampton is 90 years old today. So it's very, very cool. So find him, say happy birthday. Let's see here, Carol Rash, we're having a funeral tomorrow for her. At 9 o'clock in the morning is going to be the visitation, followed at 10 o'clock by the funeral service. So you're all invited for that, of course. Please be praying for her family as well. And Camp Sunday School begins today, adult Bible study. In fact, we should be sending the kids out right now. Kids, if you guys haven't left already, head on out. Miss Lauren will take you away to your classes. But the camp Bible study does begin today. Adult Bible study is going to be in here. I'm going to be teaching today, and we're going to be talking about biblical archaeology. Especially, we're going to be talking about the temple and some of the digging they're doing around the temple in Jerusalem, which will be kind of fun. Other than that, we do have one other thing, and that is I'm going to ask Roy Esslinger to come forward at this time. Roy is God's laid it on his heart to help our school and in a really amazing way, and I'm going to let him talk about that.
I'd say I'm a delinquent member of St. Mark's Lutheran Church. During the COVID that was going on, I got sick and my wife got sick, but we didn't really understand it all. But as we got older, we got less mobile. And I have a real problem with my balance, so I have to walk around with this thing all the time. What I'm here to ask you about is, how many people here believe that God owns everything? Okay, that's a pretty good crowd. So if God owns everything, that means that we've borrowed everything from God. Is that right? Okay. When you borrow something, my dad taught me this, when you borrow something from someone, you have to pay it back. Correct? So my thought and what I've been doing is, everything that I own, everything that I've done, I have to give back to the Lord. I came into the world naked as a jaybird, and I'm going to go out the same way. And hopefully, it'll all be given back to God. The way I do that is, I thank God every day for my blessings, but I decided that there's got to be a way that we can make this world a better place. And the way we do that is going to have to be through our children. We're going to have to teach our children about God, about how to pray, how to ask God for thanksgiving. We need to teach it at home. It's got to come from our parents first. My children all got to go to a Lutheran school in Ellisville at St. John's, went all through eighth grade, and five generations of my wife's family before that. And it didn't cost anything. It was free. Well, it's not free anymore. And the problem with that is, back when our kids were going to school, we wouldn't have been able to afford tuition. There was no possible way we could afford tuition. The most that I could tithe on a Sunday morning was $4. I gave $4 a Sunday, and that's all we had. And after everything was paid for and bought, it's all we could allow ourselves to give. But over the years, that's increased tremendously. And now I'm to the point where I'm thinking, these poor children that want to get a Christian education don't have the ability to do it, because it takes two members of a household at least to make ends meet nowadays, according to the way you want to live. So, you know, it's a hard struggle, and we have to do something about that. So one night I was just laying there in bed, and I'm sure it had to be the Holy Spirit touched my heart. And what they said to me was, you need to start a mission. You need to start something to where people will follow Jesus. And I decided to start a mission a fund. I talked to our principal at the school, and I said, what should we call this thing? God wants me to do this. And we decided to call it the Light of Christ Scholarship Fund. So it's based on John chapter 8, verse 12, that says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you'll never walk in darkness. And that's the way we believe, and that's the way we're doing this campaign. So far this year, we've already got quite a bit of money in the fund. We've got some children already using some of that money for the scholarships. And this following year, I've promised God that I would give most of my income that I make to him for this mission. You know, in the next 5 years, 5 years from now, I'm going to see $5 million in that mission. Now, you ain't... Okay. Thank you so much. That meant a lot to me. We can do it. We can honestly do it. And I'm going to help all I can. I'm going to make sure that's what happens. See, I go overboard with everything I do. That's the way I've always been. I've always been one to go overboard, especially when it comes to Jesus Christ. I go overboard. And this might sound way far-fetched, way off the wall, but we're going to do it. And I'm going to make sure that happens. I may not see it in my lifetime because I probably won't be around too much longer, but we're going to see it happen to where we don't have to pay tuition anymore for our children to go to Lutheran school. My children are the finest kids you've ever want to meet. You know, it's because they got a Christian education. Alice Brassey is one of the teachers. You know, all of these people that have done this for our family, I have great pride in enjoying their company. So please be with me. Let's work on this. You're going to see a lot more come out of it. We have now a board of directors, and we're going to work on advertising it. We're going to work on picnics and different things we're going to celebrate with the children. And let's make it all happen. In your name, I pray these things. Amen.
Thanks, Roy. Yeah, it is an exciting opportunity. We basically have we have an incredible Lutheran school, an incredible place where the kids can learn not just the things that God created in this world, like language and math and the history of God's action in the world, the history and social studies, but also that they would get to know the God who actually did all these things and made it all possible, and the one who wants a relationship with each and every one of them. The family is the first place that Christian education has to happen. There is no substitute for that. Parents cannot delegate the Christian upbringing of their children. But it is an amazing thing to have a school that repeats and supports what it is the parents are teaching in their houses. And so this is our mission. This is what we're trying to do. We want to make it possible and be responsible for the mission that our God has given us. And so with that, God's blessings on your week. Thank you for your kind attention and your patience in this, and we will be giving you more information about it. This is something that we want to leave open for everybody who wants to take part in it. It is a worthy goal to raise enough money that parents, that, yeah, I don't think we're ever going to have too much. I've never had that happen before, but it would be amazing if we could make it achievable for families to be able to send their kids to our school without having incredible financial problems and difficulty doing so. So that is our goal. God's blessings on your week, my friends. And I'll be here for Bible study after the service.